Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
From the Beastie Boys to Slayer. Slayer was out at Energy this weekend for the Open Air Fest. A lot going on here tonight. By the way, guys, I got a question from the Peel about, did I think Maidana would get the start in the game? Let me just tell you again what I said. I said I did not believe he would get the start, barring injury. In other words, unless somebody who's in the current midfield that started against Portland is injured. So I don't believe Maidana will get the start. I think it's going to be Clark, Warner, Boniek, Alex, and Wenger again after the 3-1 victory. And then Maidana potentially off the bench in that one. So that's just my opinion and my thought. But it has nothing to do with Maidana being injured. So I just wanted to clear that up, and maybe it didn't come across to you listening. 713-780-3776. In a moment, we'll be joined by Eddie Robinson. Before we are, though, quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. Moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Daspit's Law Firm, they are personal injury attorneys. So John's going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. You might work in construction or at a plant or in a refinery. Many people do here in Houston, industrial side of things. You might have a car or a boat accident, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm will assure you that they're going to treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. We thank them for their support of this show, as well as all our sponsors. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And I remind you about Liberty Kitchen. And you know, the guy who's going to come on in a minute is as passionate about food as me. We'd have a definite thing in common there when it comes to eating great food, Eddie Robinson and I. But my friends at the Liberty Kitchen, they do know how to serve up lunch, supper, and brunch. They were up here. Lance Fegan, Chef Eric Laird was up here. Unbelievable the stuff they brought here. They've got a bunch of different locations now. They got the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks. Garden Oaks is really cool. I went there for the first time. It's across from an American Legion hall, and it's tucked in a Garden Oaks neighborhood. It's really, really cool. They've opened the Treehouse in Memorial City as well, which is an architectural piece that one must see. But they do have the staples, gumbo, oysters on the half shell, cowboy surfers, burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, chops, steaks, great fish entries, good cocktails, cold beer, and now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop for Glenn Davis. And that's the bottom line. LibertyKitchen.com. Time now for a former Dynamo defender, partner on television with Root Sports. He joins me now, Eddie Robinson. Eddie.
What's up, Glenn?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Can't complain. Sitting here watching a pretty mediocre Toronto FC Orlando game. And waiting to talk to you.
All right. So I just want to first start it off by a big event that we have in Houston, the NCAA College Cup coming here December 9th and 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium. It's a huge opportunity for our soccer community to draw fans, youth coaches, high school coaches. I really think it's imperative that you're getting your players out to this. I'm not soapboxing. Yes, I am soapboxing, because you do have to show them the next level. And I think it shows your parents and your players that you're thinking big picture and visionary for them. So tickets for the College Cup, December 9th, 11th, NCAA.com. But Eddie Robinson played at the University of North Carolina. Eddie, shed a little light on the college game for you and what it meant to you.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. Going into my freshman year, there was no such thing as professional soccer in the United States. Major League Soccer started my freshman year. My plan through high school was to use soccer as a outlet to get a scholarship to a good school at the University of North Carolina, get a degree from an accredited school, and get a job and work the rest of my life. And then in 1996, Major League Soccer started. I had a really good freshman year. I played about every game, and it just kind of snowballed. The one thing I will say to high school kids, you know, the kids that play in the Development Academy in Houston, that play for the Rush, the Texans, the Dynamo, the kids that play for Express, the kids that play for Albion, the kids that play for the Dynamos, all these youth players, if you take your eyes off the field for a few minutes and you walk around the stadium, you will see professional agents. You will see professional assistant coaches scouting this. You will see other college coaches scouting this. This is something that you should aspire for. If you're a player that wants to play in college, that wants to play professional soccer, even if it's not Major League Soccer, even USL, NASL, this is something you should aspire for, because when you look at, you know, I want to say maybe, I don't know if soccer royalty in this country is the right word, but the bigwigs on every level are at this event, and they are there and they are watching, and you need to be there to see what the level you need to achieve is to possibly fulfill your dreams.
Yeah, good point. There'll be MLS coaches, everybody coming into town, scouts, college coaches will be here. It's going to be a great weekend. Again, it's the College Cup, December 9th through 11th, BBVA Compass Stadium, NCAA.com for your tickets. Eddie, what's your best college soccer moment?
As a player?
That's a tough one, Glenn.
What
memory comes into your mind right away?
I think my favorite would be every year that we played in the ACC tournament, right? And most of the time it was somewhere in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and it always happened around November. So the leaves start changing color, the air starts getting a little bit cooler and crisper. There's just a different feeling in the air. And the ACC tournament, you know, you look at the current top five NCAA teams, four of the five are from the ACC. So there's always a just massive excitement around that tournament. And, you know, whether it was in Charlottesville, Virginia, whether it was in Chapel Hill, whether it was in Durham, whether it was in Clemson, South Carolina, wherever this tournament was, it was a magical week, you know, 5-6 days. And the people you got to meet, the bond that you built with your teammates after a long season, I would say every ACC tournament that I got to play in was probably the highlight of my career.
Yeah, the ACC tournament's exciting. By the way, Montreal, 2-1 lead over San Jose, 71st minute, former Dynamo Dominic Oduro in the 22nd, 32nd minute, Ignacio Piatti, 62nd minute, Chris Wondolowski. So it's 2-1 Montreal up in Montreal, and if the Impact win that one, could be pretty much the end of the hopes for the playoffs for San Jose. Who knows? It'll probably end up a tie, right? That's what I'm going to say. All right, let's talk about the Dynamo Portland, Eddie. Get your thoughts initially on that one.
Well, listen, you watch Portland and how they did last night in the CONCACAF Champions League. For those that aren't aware, they came back. Darlington Nagbe had a late free kick to win it, to keep them alive, to make it out of the group stage and into the knockout round. But they did have to travel. And Darlington Nagbe played a lot of minutes. Fernando Adi played a lot of minutes. The guys that they really depend on in attack played a lot of minutes. And, you know, I look at it, and I think that Portland was fortunate, because to come to Houston and play in the kind of heat that they did, and I guess you got to give them some credit, right? You got to give them some credit, but I look at this situation. I look at Wade Barrett, where he is right now, with the interim tag on him, and you know, the player decisions he has to make in the offseason, should he be given the job, what the front office has to do. I think it was huge. I think that the Portland game was huge. And the momentum that it conceivably provided for this team is, I think, immeasurable. I think this is this Dynamo team, especially under Wade Barrett, has been good but not great. And I think that's because they've had maybe a lack of confidence. And we know what confidence does for MLS players and MLS teams. And when you can get a little bit of confidence and a little bit of momentum and win a couple games in a row, all of a sudden, you know, a Dynamo team that has struggled all year and been at nearly at the bottom or at the bottom of the league could win a few games, and all of a sudden it's, okay, there's no doubt Wade Barrett should be the coach.
I think he's already. I think he's already the coach, barring a total collapse where you would lose a bunch of games. I don't think there's a lot of other choices. I think it's either him or Wilmer Cabrera. They've already mentioned that they're not going international again. That card has been played by the Dynamo already. That's off the table. And I think, you know, the sooner he gets the job, the sooner he can, whether you like it or not as a fan, the sooner he gets a job, the sooner he can look beyond just what next game is in front of him, because his motivation is winning because he wants to get the job. And who can blame him? And I saw an article today, Eddie, from I think Jeff Carlisle that
I was just about to reference
that talked about, you know, kind of took the position of, well, it's a really difficult situation for him. And I'm kind of going, well, no, it isn't. It's an opportunity. It's what every assistant coach wants, an opportunity to be the head coach. Sure, it's not perfect. Sure, he hasn't been handed the head coaching job, but he's in a position to get it, and he's in there for the long run. He's doing some positive things that, in the end, are going to have to matter to Dynamo president Chris Cannetti, more importantly, owner Gabriel Brenner, and you know, GM Matt Jordan. By the way, make me one of those while you're doing that.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I was about to bring up that article. Two things stood out for me. Number one was Wade Barrett's quote that there has been no conversation with anyone about what is required of him to earn the full-time job.
Well, and we've asked him. Listen, I asked him again in the interview that we played earlier in the show. We asked again. He doesn't really know what the criteria is, so he just wants to win games
exactly.
And then see it out.
Well, that's number one. Number two for me, Glenn, is the quote from Matt Jordan when Jeff Carlisle asked Matt Jordan, you know, Jeff Carlisle said he played his cards really close to his vest. We're still evaluating all of our options, and that was that. It was very short and very sweet. So if you're Wade Barrett, like Wade says, he can only prepare for the next game and try to do his best. He has no idea. And it's one thing if they have this discussion behind closed doors, what they should do. And Chris Cannetti, Matt Jordan, Gabriel Brenner, they need to sit Wade Barrett down and say, if you want this job, this is what we want to see from you.
And yeah, but actually they don't have to. I mean, I think you wish.
They don't have to.
I think you wish that would happen, because I think the sooner you hand him the head coaching job, then the lens of Wade goes beyond Friday night to next year.
Right, and I don't think it's just his lens. What I think a lot of it is his attitude. Right now,
that all fits under the category of lens. It's you make decisions for the future.
It's his attitude and the way he sees things. It's his attitude about who he hires. He's got to hire at least one more, if not two more, assistant coaches.
He already knows, though, Eddie. It might be you. He already knows who his assistants are going to be. He told me that.
I mean, but Wade can't do everything right now. I mean, he's having there's so much on his plate that he has to do that he should have at least another, if not two more, assistant coaches doing, which I think takes away from the way he's able to prepare individual players for these upcoming games. I think that Wade is behind the eight ball. He's in a tough position, which for me makes all of the results that he's gotten that much more spectacular and important. And let's say they get another win this weekend. Maybe they win two more games. I'm thinking to myself, if you don't give Wade Barrett this job, you're out of your mind.
I think it's a done deal. I think he's got the job.
All the barriers.
I think he's got
the success that Wade has.
I think
there are so many barriers right now.
Well, again, I'm not going to listen. I mean, assistant coaches that are ambitious to be head coaches get opportunities. It is still an opportunity for Wade, and I think he totally is up for the challenge, and he seems to be handling it very well. And yes, it's not the best circumstances, but I don't think it always is. And the next thing you know, he'll have more control to try and do more with the team.
Obviously, no one can argue it's a result-based business, but I think the next most important thing is how much respect the players have for you and listening to the Dynamo players talk about Wade and their preparation for games and their training during the week. They love Wade, and that's one of the most important things, is that the players enjoy playing for their coach and feel that there's a mutual respect there between them and their coach.
He's clearly demonstrated that.
That says a lot for me, is the respect that these players have for Wade.
Well, I think once you look at record and results, you say, okay, that's the first thing. But the second thing is exactly what you said. Are the players responding to the new manager? I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
They are. Eddie, I got to go because I'm being told I got a hard break. Thank you very much, as always. I will see you soon. We'll try to get you back on next week. We'll talk some more.
No worries. All right, Glenn.
All right, Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson. Always great to get his opinion on things. And me and that guy, we could talk soccer all day long. I don't think there's any question. We'd probably throw a little food in there as well. We'll take a break. Coming up, Sasha Sarofsky is going to talk about the NCAA college season being moved over the course of two semesters. Sixth caller right now. Oh, okay, we're going to wait. Okay, so we're going to do one more segment before Sasha. Sixth caller right now. We'll give you another pair of tickets. Sixth caller right now. Dynamo New York City FC this Friday night. Sixth caller, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
For the block, boy. Take it rough. Every day has been the same old thing on my block. You either work.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a couple of questions to put out there to you right now. Wade Barrett, are you up for him to be the coach of the Houston Dynamo? There hasn't been a lot of discussion about other possibilities. It's really been Wilmer Cabrera. I threw a wild card out in Efrain Flores from down in Mexico today. Over at Facebook Soccer Matters, a lot of responses there. We've had over 4,000 people looking at this and a lot of people commenting on who they would like for manager. Somebody even, Darius, even put Carlos Quiroz up there. Vince Vicente says, my personal choice would be to stick with Barrett. He bleeds orange and the fans, in my opinion, respect him as well. So 713-780-3776. Do you want Wade Barrett to be the next coach of the Dynamo? I think he is. I don't think there's any question. I think that's the direction they're going. 713-780-3776. Lee doesn't agree. He says Wade Barrett has been generally terrible. Many questionable lineup decisions, inconsistent play. The last couple of games are nice and all, but it's time to fully clean house. Ray says Cabrera is the obvious choice. He should be treated like our USL players. If you're playing good in the USL, then you get moved up to the MLS. I'm sure he won't cost much. And when you hit rock bottom, the only way now is up. Vance wants a three-headed monster. He says, imagine if he could get all three of them, one being the head coach and the other two become assistants. Luis Enrique Lopez says, Cabrera is Barrett's main competition, especially since he's the coach, the one-year trick pony that was in the last year of Chivas' existence. But I see the lineup closing the year with a bang. Minota scoring a few more, and that should seal the deal. If not, the people who run this team are really stupid. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. George says, Wade Barrett for my choice. Naomi, Wade Barrett. Chito Torres, Flores. Luis Vela Guevara, I can see Flores getting the job next year. Well, I don't think so, Luis. The Dynamo have made it very, very clear that they do not want, they're not going to go for a foreign coach. I think that one's, that ship has sailed. Jose says, Efrain Flores is no bueno. I'm not even coming from an Americanista viewpoint. That because he coached Chivas. So I appreciate everybody's responding to that. 713-780-3776. What do you think? Francesco Totti is thriving at 40. Still playing with Roma. Unbelievable. Chicharito Hernandez gets his 100th European goal. How about that? Tata Martinez. Now, with the Dynamo looking for a coach, look what Atlanta United did. Tata Martinez. Tata Martinez has been named the coach in Atlanta. How about that? He was just here in Houston with Argentina's national team. He's coached Barcelona. They go for a big splash in Tata Martinez in Atlanta. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on who should be the manager of the Houston Dynamo? I just read a couple of them from the Facebook Soccer Matters page. You can tweet your choice as well to Glenn Davis Sock. But I think it says a lot if we have people engaged in who should be the coach and an opinion. But we really are down, I think, to just Cabrera and Wade Barrett. Let's go to the phone lines and Josh, who's got an opinion on this. Josh.
Hey, Gwen, first of all, love your radio show here. I absolutely do believe that Wade Barrett deserves a head coach role. I think he stopped the bleeding when he took over for Owen Coyle. He stopped the losses. Yeah, he turned them into draws. But he's done so much for this team just in the past few games. The last three games alone, he's gotten 7 points out of it. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree that Wade Barrett should be our head coach next year.
Is it just on record? Because if it's on record, he's 4-4-9.
4-4-9, that's still a great record right now. You know, four wins
right
now. Man,
we're setting the bar low, aren't we?
What's that?
Are we setting the bar low? 4-4-9 is a great record?
I wouldn't set the bar low. I'd say it
that is setting the bar low.
You think it is?
4-4-9? I got news for you. The coach in Seattle who took over for Ziggy Schmidt when he's fired, if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's not getting the job. So the bar is different. Now, and I'm not saying they're the same situations. We don't have the pressure that Seattle has down here. We don't get it from the media. And getting back to my conversation with Eddie Robinson, and what Eddie brought up was a very, very good point. And that point is, are the players playing for Wade Barrett? Because we know there's got to be player movement in the offseason. And it has to happen in a big way. Because sitting back and defending deep, I hope that's not going to be the platform of soccer that occurs. And Wade has even said to me that a more pressing game is in his blood. But we haven't really seen the Dynamo adopt the attitude based on the players they have now and Wade as the coach of a pressing team and imposing their style a whole lot from the start of games. It really has – the basis has come off. The platform has come off a deeper defending collective team, which Wade felt, and I think he's right, had to be done based on the lack of tactical acumen that Owen Coyle had. And by the way, that was confirmed by David Horst, who basically said the team was just thrown out there and they just played. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. And I think, to be fair to Wade, he's going to need to get players in the offseason.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's going to be – I believe there's going to be an absolutely total overhaul in the offseason here. I think a lot of our – I think we'll see a lot of changes coming up here. I see a lot of pull-ins from the Toros, which is another great team here. We do need to go.
Well, don't let me tell you about the Toros again. The main players that have a run at becoming Houston Dynamo contributors in a big way, like the Christian Lucateros, I don't see him getting the playing time. I don't know why, but there's not a lot of guys down there that I think are going to sign MLS contracts, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. And that doesn't mean they can't win in the USL. I'm going to let you finish.
I was just going to say that it looks like a lot of these teams, you know, such as like an FC Dallas is going towards a younger team here. And I believe, you know, the Toros is a younger team, a good team to pick up players from. That's all I was really going to say about it.
Oh, it can be a massive thing in the future for the Dynamo. I hope it comes back here to Houston one day, and I hope it's not 5 hours away. That whole – It doesn't make sense. And Wilmer Cabrera would be more in the discussion right now if, in fact, that team was here. All right, I thank you very much for that phone call. Excellent stuff.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Now we'll come back with the Sasha Sarofsky interview. Again, I remind you, our thanks to our great sponsors, Daspit Law Firm, Bud Light, Bar Munich, The Gorgeous Gale, 7-Up, Liberty Kitchen, Houston Dynamo, and many, many more. The Gorgeous Gale and Company, Richmond Arms. Take a quick break. We'll come back with more.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As everybody knows on this show, I do love food. So my passion around food and my friends at Liberty Kitchen, it's bar none. You serve up lunch, supper, and brunch there better than most at Liberty Kitchen. So think of Liberty Kitchen as modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up several notches. They got burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. They've got all the great seafood over there. Incredible gumbo with the crab meat, oysters on the half shell, cowboys, surfers, you name it, they have it. Grilled chops and steaks, weekday specials, signature cocktails, and cold beer on tap. What more do you need? Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop for me. Now I want to let you know, Liberty Kitchen has a couple of new locations. They've obviously got the staple in the Heights, the River Oaks area, Rice Village. Garden Oaks is a great location. I just went to that in a neighborhood. And soon to open, and I believe it's open now, the Treehouse in Memorial City, which is supposedly an amazing place, the Treehouse in Memorial City. That's Liberty Kitchen. All right, with that, everybody knows Houston, Texas, and BBVA Compass Stadium will be hosting what is going to be a remarkable opportunity for our city, and that is the NCAA Men's College Cup. For those who don't know what that means, that's essentially the national championship of men's college soccer. And the quality of play is excellent. You saw it last year when Stanford won it. But the one thing that is certainly not made people happy is the fact that it hasn't been well attended, the semifinals and the finals. So we're trying to do something about it here in Houston. Tickets are at NCAA.com. We want to get all the coaches at the youth, the high school level, all your players, they are aspiring to play at the college level. So we want you to get out and support this. It's a huge opportunity for our city because this will be on national TV and ESPN. So no better guy to bring on than a guy that's won the national championship twice with the University of Maryland. Sasha Sarofsky joins us now. He is their head coach, also the chair of Division I Coaches Committee for the NSCAA. Sasha, thank you very much for coming on.
Glenn, it's great to be with you, and I'm excited to have Houston host the College Cup.
Yeah, we're excited too, and obviously you're one of the teams that I know you want to be down here. One thing we always are focused on with your program, not only the winning pedigree and the style of soccer, and of course moving players onto the pros, and we'll talk about your guy Patrick Mullins in a little bit, but you draw 5,000 people a game. Tell me how you've done that in the community and how that's happened.
Well, as you know, in order to draw people to games, you have to have a couple of things. Number one, you need a good product on the field, and I think you know, this is my 24th year here at Maryland, and every year we seem to raise the bar a little bit in terms of atmosphere at games and so on. But we provide probably the best value in the whole Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area for entertainment. And, you know, right now we're actually averaging 6,800 on Friday nights and a little bit over 3,500 on Monday nights. And every game is virtually a standing room only because we provide, number one, a great product, but also a great entertainment experience. You know, we've reconfigured our soccer stadium to make it very fan-friendly, but we do a lot of things behind the scenes. We spend a lot of time engaged with our student body at the University of Maryland. It's not unusual for us to have well over 5,000 just students from the University of Maryland come to the games, and they stay in the whole game, and they stay for the full game. And it's quite a remarkable atmosphere, and I think a lot of our players who are in the pros will tell you that, you know, with the exception of one or two MLS experiences, it's the best atmosphere in North America for a college game. But we also spend a lot of time on relationships and the community. We're out between the camps and clinics, engaged in the community, and make sure the high school coaches, the club coaches, both the boys and the girls feel good about coming to our games. And then also we spend a lot of time really thanking our student body. We have a student fan base called The Crew. It's 4,000 strong. That's kind of the regular crowd we get at our games, and they just love the product.
Yeah, and I've called some games at your place, Ludwig Field, right? Is that the name of it?
Yep.
Yeah, I've called games there, and it has been really fun calling games there. Absolutely, 21 postseasons Maryland has gotten into under Sasha Sarofsky. All right, the other thing in the college game that's a big hot topic issue right now is potentially spreading the seasons over the entire course of the school year. So talk a little bit about that. Is it really attainable? It certainly makes sense from a player development standpoint and a student standpoint, but it would be really groundbreaking. Do you think you can get it done, Sasha?
Glenn, we will get it done. This is something that the college coaches have been talking about for over 30 years. We've made a couple of runs at this at the NCAA and with our own administrators and kind of been shut down. But right now, the time it couldn't be better. The NCAA finally has opened up to what they're calling student-athlete welfare and time demands and really starting to look at the academic well-being, the physical well-being of the student-athlete under the guise of student-athlete welfare. And they're starting to put their money where their mouth is. They're actually conducting surveys, trying to listen to the student-athletes, things that we've been saying for a long time. And, you know, we've been at this for over 3 years now, and we're going to submit a proposal in the next month to move soccer, to reorganize the playing and practice season schedule, because that's the one component that has really held college soccer at a standstill. We haven't really grown the game at the national championship level. I'm sure you and I will talk about that in a few minutes. But the game has grown a lot, but the game overall has grown massively. MLS now is one of the top up-and-coming leagues in the world. We've got over 60 professional teams in this country. 1980s, we had virtually zero when the NASL folded. The youth market is among the largest, most fruitful in the world right now. And kids are playing over two semesters. I mean, college soccer right now, the model is really archaic. It was developed in the 1950s. It was developed under the guise of what was the old high school model going into college. So essentially, you had one player, a good athlete, played two or three sports during the academic year. A coach coached two or three sports during the academic year. Well, that's all changed. But we haven't changed the playing and practice season. We haven't adjusted anything with the exception of a few things here or there for football and basketball. But now sports science has come into the equation. And all of a sudden, people are starting to understand that you cannot play soccer twice a week for 12 weeks in a row and expect the product to look good, expect to really have proper rest and recover, proper periodization, proper planning, and to get a good experience for student-athletes. And you also can't expect a national championship experience that's played in the middle of winter in mostly cold climates. Thank you. We were coming to Houston this year and expect to have a good experience. So we've sat and talked to our players and interviewed and met with highest folks at the NCAA and commissioners and athletic directors, and we put together a proposal that hits all of the pieces. We essentially want to reorganize what we already have. We have this traditional season in the fall, 20 games in a short period of time that count. In the spring, we have 5 games that don't count. In the fall, we miss 10 days of school. In the spring, we miss no days of school. The championship in the fall, in mid-December, doesn't work, but it would in May and June, like lacrosse, like baseball. So we've said, look, let's reorganize this thing. Let's give the kids a full day off during the week. Let's make sure we create some balance over the course of the year. And when you piece it all together, it's a no-brainer. But it takes time to go through the institutional process because change is not easy on many people. But I'm telling you, Glenn, this will happen.
So you think that this time the NCAA is being really genuine with this and your desires and your thoughts on the model of how this should be?
Glenn, the NCAA held the first ever sports science summit, and soccer was selected as the topic of discussion. There is some really bright people at the NCAA that now understand the sport, understand that, you know, in a game of soccer, you might run 6 to 7 miles in a game. That's like a 10K. Now, if a cross-country athlete ran a 10K, they wouldn't compete against it 2 weeks, maybe 1 week minimally. People are starting to understand that what we're doing is almost criminally insane for the student-athletes. And they're starting to come around and say, you know what, there's got to be a better way. And there is already sports in the NCAA that play over 2 semesters. You know, golf and tennis play over 2 semesters. Ice hockey, basketball play over 2 semesters. So this is not something that is, you know, groundbreaking. But it's a smart move that's long overdue. And I believe now we have people at the highest levels. I mean, right now our proposal has been talked in person to every vice president and the president of the NCAA Every commissioner knows about this now. Every AD knows about this now. Whereas before, you know, it was people just didn't know and they shut it down. Right now, people are listening. They're starting to agree. But there's a process and some timelines that we have to be careful and follow. But this will happen because it's the right thing to do.
Well, that's outstanding news. Now, would this stretch over to the women's game, or are they handling this on their own?
I think the women also want an extended season. They haven't been as ambitious or aggressive in the same proposal we're talking about. But you have to understand, the women's game is in a different place right now. And I have a daughter that plays Division I college soccer. She's a junior at Bucknell. And my wife, obviously, is a U.S. Soccer Hall of Famer, Shannon Higgins, a World Cup champion from 1991, the four-time national champion at Carolina. But the women are in a different place. In other words, women's soccer was virtually non-existent in the early 80s. There's 340 programs right now. They've had a lot of rapid growth and good growth. And quite frankly, there's not, you know, they just haven't had the time to really synthesize the same information we've had. We've been fighting this battle for over 30 years, and we've been sort of, I guess, working together collaboratively more so than the women have. Most of the women's coaches that know about this love it, but I think it's just going to take some time. My view is the men will pass this over the next 2 or 3 years, and then within 3 or 4 years after that, the women will jump on this. And within 10 years, both genders will be playing over 2 semesters.
So again, for our listeners, this is a movement to get the college men's game played over 2 semesters as opposed to this insanely, and you mentioned the word criminal, condensed schedule that the college game has. And this is all for student and athlete welfare. We got about 5 minutes here, so I want to move this on.
Sure.
That is a great synopsis of that, and I think my listeners are going to certainly enjoy that. I want to take you to one of your players that I've had the good pleasure of being able to call a number of his college matches and pro matches. Patrick Mullins is absolutely tearing it up for DC United in Major League Soccer. Just a thought or two on your player. I always thought he was a highly intelligent college soccer player.
Well, he's a leader. He's a high-character guy. He's a guy that makes every team better, and you know, I think he had a great first year with New England Revolution. Unfortunately, they lost him in a waiver draft. He got off to a great start at New York City FC, but then unfortunately they had 3 DPs that came in, and he didn't get the time. And DC United, you have to credit Dave Cash from Ben Olsen. They brought him in, and since he's come in, they've been among the hottest teams in the league. And you know, you talk to Ben Olsen and Dave Cash and the players there, and they just love him because he's he's made of the right stuff. You know, he's a great, tough kid out of Louisiana. You know, 2-time Herman Trophy champion, also an honor student. He's the kind of kid that just works hard, is honest, loves to score goals. Will do the defensive work as well as the attacking work. And certainly for me, one of the best players I've ever coached at the University of Maryland. And he makes every team he plays on better.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying basically he's turned around DC United season. He's only 24 years of age. He's going to help, it looks like, DC to get into the playoffs here now. He is a local guy, obviously played for Sasha Sarovsky at the University of Maryland. He's scoring at an unbelievable rate here for DC United. So a lot of it, you know, you've seen so many of your college players make the transition into the pro game. There is that element where you just have to land with the right team and get the right opportunity, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. You've got to be lucky. You've got to be fortunate. But you also have to, you know, overcome some adversity because at the pro game, just like at the top level college game, you may have an injury. You may fall out of favor. You know, there might be a coaching change, and you just have to fight through. And that's what I love about what Patrick's done. You know, he's on his third team. And I remember each time after he was traded, he called me, and it was immediately, you know, after the initial excitement or disappointment, whatever emotion was appropriate at the time, you know, he quickly got to, hey, this is a great opportunity. It's a positive, forward-looking young man, and he's doing great. And I also think it helps, you know, he comes to DC United and he's got Taylor Kemp there, one of his Maryland players. And I think, you know, we have 18 players currently in MLS rosters, and many of them are starting players. So when you come from a culture like Maryland, you go from team to team, you usually have a teammate welcoming you. So the transition was made easier, I think. Plus, he's a local guy. He knew all the people around here, so it's been easy.
Sasha Sarovsky, a longtime coach of Maryland, 2 national championships there, a guy that you have to respect for all the effort and desire and passion and smarts he's put into the college game over his unbelievably stellar career. Last thing before I let you go, give us some advice here in Houston. You know, if the Terps get down here, we got to fear the turtle here in Houston. We want to make sure they're fans here, and we want this building sold out. We're making a real effort here in the community. We have a wonderful local organizing community headed up by Rachel Kwan at the Harris County Sports Authority. But give us some advice, because, you know, the reward for getting into the last four teams in the men's college game, it's got to be bigger and better for these kids.
Yeah, you know, I think, the last few college cups have been disappointing experiences as far as the atmosphere at the games. You know, it's been a bit of a letdown. You come, you work hard, you get to a national championship, and then whether it's weather-related or lack of marketing or lack of community support, you know, we're playing in front of, a couple thousand people. And that's not what you want for these student-athletes that have put their whole life into getting to a place of a national championship. And, you know, Houston is a great, great sports town. And we saw the college, basketball championship last year. And there's a fantastic soccer community there. And I have to commend you, Glenn. You're doing a great job in energizing the high school and the club coaches. But this needs to be a whole, community-supported effort. And, college soccer is very important. And I think, if you look at all the kids playing youth sports, there's a majority of them, 99.9%, their end game is going to be in college. There's going to be a few that are going to go on to the professional level, which is great. But we all have a responsibility to help grow the college game. And my goodness, how nice would it be if I brought my team there or whatever team brings them there, if the entire lower bowl of 10, 12,000 is packed? And how cool would it be, Glenn, if we section off each segment and get the four colors of the different schools, and we provide shirts to these communities? A couple of clubs, maybe they support, Stanford, and someone supports a UCLA, and someone supports a Maryland, someone supports, whoever. And we make it fun. We have to make it fun. It has to be a festive environment.
Celebration,
you know, great location,
right?
You're downtown. The restaurants need to get in this. The local clubs need to get in this. The high school clubs need to get in this. I guarantee you that quality on the field will be fun. People will want to come back. And we've got a chance to really raise the bar for the College Cup here. And I just hope that the entire city of Houston, the soccer community, gets excited, gets out there, and supports this thing. Last year, Jordan Morris, a superstar, played in the game, and there was 2,000 people at the game. And that's really disappointing.
I think you might be padding this stuff, Bruce, because I know you were there, but I was there too. I didn't see 2,000 people.
Yeah, well.
And anyway, that's not even worth talking about. Listen, the NCAA College Cup, it's NCAA.com. And as Sasha just said, I think it's anybody who's a high school coach, anybody who's a college coach, high school coaches from around Texas, anybody who's in the youth game, look, it's obvious your next step is helping these kids achieve their dreams and get to the college game. So why wouldn't you have them out at the stadium? It's part of player development. It should be part of your program. And it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. And we have a chance here in Houston, I think, Sasha, and you can correct me if you're wrong, but based on, the attendance at the last couple of college cups outside of Cary, if we put 7,000 to 10,000 people in there, we're gonna make a little impact nationally, I think. I think people will take notice, and this is a great soccer city, having lived here as long as I have since 1984. It's an amazing soccer city. But if we come on national TV and there's nobody at this game, it doesn't bode well for anybody here.
I want to challenge the entire Houston soccer community. Pack the lower bowl. Bring every one of your kids to the game. Bring them out. They will have an incredible experience. They'll see high-level student-athletes who've worked their entire life to play in the highest game of the year, and because this is the end goal of most of the kids that you're coached. They education is valued in this country. Soccer is valued in this country. And here you have the showcase of the combination of, serious student-athletes playing the game at the highest level. Let's make this thing a reality. Let's showcase your great city. Pack the lower bowl. Get the word out. Challenge it. And I'll tell you what, anybody that comes to the game that doesn't enjoy the experience, they can send me an email. I'll give them their money back.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, there's no better way to end this interview than that. I'm going to let your words stand there. Sasha, as always, thank you very much. And again, I think from afar, many, many people not only respect the program that you build, but also the passion for the college game that you've had over the years and your impact on it. So thank you very much for coming on. We'll get you on again.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, Sasha Sarofsky, two-time national champions of the University of Maryland, regularly average 5,000 people at their games. Countless guys in Major League Soccer, but a wonderful program, and you heard him there. He made a real plea for us to make an effort down here. We need to do it, and it's important for me to let you hear people from around the country that are the movers and shakers in this game have their opinion on this and how passionate it is for them to see us fill the stadium for the NCAA College Cup. Again, December 9th, the semifinals. The 11th is the final. It's right here in Houston. This is the biggest game in the that'll be playing in this Final Four. We wrap it up tonight. A quick moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach at DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-4878. Your accident could be car, boat, motorcycle. I would say I've been in one of those categories. Industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. It doesn't matter if you're working at a plant or a refinery. The Daspit Law Firm will assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They'll work 24/7 nights and weekends for you. 713-322-4878 for producer Tyler Scott. I'm Glenn Davis. Don't forget Facebook Soccer Matters. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Let's get behind the NCAA College Cup December 9th and 11th right here at BBVA Compass Stadium in Houston.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.